This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a program sponsored by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Pastor Hans Overdoen speaking. In this message, I invite you to consider some impressive truths about Jesus the Savior, as made known to us in the first verses of John's Gospel account. It is just tremendous what John also said to Jesus of his Gospel. There is much in the opening verses that is so deep it never can be fully grasped on this side of heaven. But to grasp in a measure even the summary of what John all writes about Jesus the Savior in the first few verses, then you know Jesus is the Savior we need. Another Savior you need not, and none like him could ever be found. Just following the text, notice with me the following astounding, glorious gospel truths. Savior. For one, notice, Jesus always was there from eternity. This is what John says when he writes, "In the beginning was the Word." The phrase "in the beginning" refers to the beginning of this world, when God first created this world. The very first verses 1, verse 1 tell us, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Well, in the beginning was the Word. That means Jesus existed already before the world was made. No one should think Jesus only began to exist when he was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary, and when she gave birth to him in Bethlehem. No, Jesus existed way before that. Even when Adam and Eve were created, he was there. Jesus was there before anything was created. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word, as we shall see in a moment, stands for Jesus. There are other texts which say this too, that Jesus always was from eternity and is to eternity. I think of John 17, verse 5, where Jesus himself says he had glory with the Father before the world was. In Colossians 1, 17, Paul says about Jesus, he was before all things. And dear listener, I'm not pretending to explain this or to understand this, that Jesus always was and is and forever will be. In Revelation 1 verse 8, Jesus is described in the majestic words, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty." Who can grasp that? But what I ask you now is, doesn't this unfathomable truth give reason for you and me to bow deeply before the Savior in humble adoration? The Savior whom God has sent to seek and to save sinners, he has always been. Whatever that all means, don't you see too, it sure proclaims to us, Jesus is a Savior, very awesome indeed. One we do well to reverence and respect and rely upon and rally behind for sure, or not. Jesus from eternity. That is one truth, John, even in his first few. And now listen to this second tremendous truth. He has this name, this title, Word. Jesus is the Word with God, and the Word from God, John tells us. This seems like such a strange name or title for Jesus. But when you think more of what it means, it is a most splendid name and title, and one to be treasured very much. Think here, what is a word? Do you not agree? A word is a means of communication, the expression of what is in one's mind and heart. A word gives expression to one's inner thoughts, and a word reveals those thoughts to others. Well, so Jesus Christ, John tells us, God, who expresses and reflects the mind and heart of God, and also reveals that mind and heart of God to mankind. To you and me. In verse 18 of our text passage, John tells us, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." This fits, you see, with Jesus being called the Word with God. Jesus is not called the voice crying in the wilderness, as John the Baptist is described in John 1, verse 23, just proclaiming the Word of God, but Jesus, John tells us, in verse 1, is the very Word of God, who is with God. In Matthew 11, 27, we are told, it is the Son who reveals the Father. For you see, he is the Word, the expression and revelation of God in person and in action. Again, this may seem hard to grasp, but if you only catch this, that with God is this person called the Word, and that name Word means he is truly the expression and revelation of God himself. With this title, Word for Jesus, don't you see too? What John is telling us is that if you want to know about God, who he is, and what he is about, what is on his heart, and what is his will and way, then consider Jesus Christ, for he is the Word of God, and the Word from God, and the Word with God. Yes, notice that here, what John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was with God, face to face, as it were, in sweet, intimate fellowship and communion with God, always. This suggests, doesn't it, perfect knowledge of God and perfect revelation of God. Verse 18 confirms that too. Notice too, John doesn't say the Word became God, but the Word was with God. In the beginning, there was God, and there was the Word with him from the beginning. Jesus' title, Word with God, is surely very special. And it shows, doesn't it, how very, very great Jesus was and is. But let us move on, still with the first verse, and notice another most tremendous truth that John gives us about Jesus. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. With that, John is saying, Jesus is also God himself. Totally and completely, together with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And the Word was God. The way the text is expressed in the Greek, emphasis is on the Word God, and most clearly the subject is Jesus the Word, proclaiming that he is God alongside of God. You have to literally twist and change what is written to deny what John here says, that Jesus is fully divine together with God. Ever since the time of the New Testament, there have been those who have tried to deny the full deity of Jesus. But what John has written by the Holy Spirit cannot be falsified, though it's attempted. It is this fact, too, that Jesus is also very God that makes him so great and glorious as Savior of sinners. Of course the devil wants to minimize who Jesus is, and so he has worked to have people suggest Jesus is like God at best, but he can't truly be God with God. But the devil is wrong, and God's Word is true. Here, dear listener, is the good news about Jesus the Savior. He is from eternity, he is the Word with God, and is truly himself also God. Unbelievable, incomprehensible, but so wonderfully true, that so great a Savior should be sent to save sinners like you and me. In verse 2, John repeats with emphasis what is said in verse 1. The same was in the beginning with God. Literally put it, thus the full deity of Christ, his eternity, and his distinct personal existence are confessed once more in order that heretics may be refuted and the church may be established in the faith and love of God. But John has still more to say. We have only just looked at the first two verses. And only briefly. We need to go on and notice what else John says about Jesus, how else he introduces him for us, led by the Holy Spirit. And what does John tell us about Jesus? In verse 3, there we learn that Jesus is the Creator God from the beginning. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Paul does the same in Colossians 1, verse 17, telling us there, that Jesus is before all things, and by him all things consist. How great Jesus must be and is, when you reflect on it, how he together with the Father and the Spirit created the vast universe and this earth and everything in it and on it and about it. When you should question Jesus' wisdom and power and knowledge and rule, remember that he created this world, and be amazed, be humble. Be trusting. John goes on in verses 4 and 5 to tell us Jesus is the source of life and light for all mankind. In him was life, says John, and the life was the light of men. and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What John meant here by life and light is that in him, Jesus Christ, is found the source of spiritual life over against the deadness of sin that we have brought ourselves into through the fall into sin. And in Jesus is found the light of the world over against the darkness of sin. In verse 4 and 5 then, we learn that Jesus, the Almighty Savior, verses 1 to 3, is coming to this fallen, sin-cursed world as source of life and light for sinful. And John tells us, though the darkness understood not the light and opposed the light, it could not extinguish the light. Light and darkness are opposites, but they are not opposites of equal power. Light is stronger than darkness, and a little light can break through the darkness in a way that the darkness is overcome rather than the light. What John tells us in verse 4 and 5 is that now that the Word has come into the world, as he puts it in 1 John 2 verse 8, the darkness is passing away, and the true light now shines. Verses 4 and 5 proclaim Jesus came into this sinful, cursed world to make a difference for good. And what a difference he makes! Jesus Christ is the source of light and life for man, dead in sins and trespasses, lost in the darkness of sin. Oh, what reasons to be attracted to Jesus, and what reasons forever to glory in him, Jesus Christ the Savior. Considering just these truths about him, namely that he is from eternity, he is the Word with God, he is God himself, he is the one source of all light and life. And as John goes on to explain, Jesus is God come in the flesh, full of grace and truth, to seek and to save sinners. This is what John proclaims and exclaims further in John 1, stating in verse 14, speaking of the same person as in verse 1, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Ah, Jesus is God come down in the flesh, very God and very man in one person, who came to obtain salvation for sinners through his righteous life and once for all sacrifice on the cross on sinners' behalf. When you think of Jesus' qualifications, as described by John, it makes real sense what we read in Acts 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that leads to the question, are you trusting in Jesus the Savior? And are you too attracted to him and drawn to him by all the exceeding glorious things just now spoken of him and about him? The text passage itself tells us that when Jesus came, the world knew him not, and his own people received him not. How could that be? Ah, is it not because man by nature knows not our horrible guilt and just condemnation and eternal punishment with the fall into sin? But is there anyone listening now that hasn't learned yet from the Bible and discovered in your life what a sinner you are in and of yourself? And how that, except God save you totally and constantly, you are without hope, completely and eternally. Consider this, so great and grievous is our fall into sin, that no one less than Jesus Christ and all that he is, as John declares, no one less than he can save us. Is there anyone listening now who will not call out to Jesus to save also you, and who will not trust and obey him above all and in all? There is no hope for those not truly believing in him, but there's endless hope and assurance of salvation for all who turn from their sins and repent and believe in Jesus and follow after him. This the impressive truths of John 1 make plain. And the glorious purpose of this gospel message of Jesus Christ is that all may repent and believe and be saved, including you. Amen. If you would like a free copy of this message, please write to the Banner of Truth Broadcast, 9790, Chilliwack, B.C., postal code V2P6E3. You can also reach us on the Internet at www.frcna.org.